One, two. All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP today. I'll just open us up with prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, just thank you once more for allowing us to come here this morning to wake us up. I know it's a wet day, but allow us to come and spend these first few minutes, these first few hours with you this morning. Just pray that you'll speak to us, you'll minister to us, use the message today, the devotional today, just to really speak truth into our hearts and to speak transformation into our lives. And Lord, I just ask you to help me and use me and guide me just to really just minister today. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, if we turn to our one books. So I'll just read the scriptures. It's Mark 4, 21 to 34. And the title is called Shine Like a Lamp and Grow Like a Seed. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear, listen. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. In the Philippines, homes not reached by electricity use kerosene lamps during night time. When I was a child, we depended on lamps. We put a lamp where it could illuminate the whole room. It would be difficult for us to work without light and would put us in danger as well. In the same way, God has given us light to illuminate others, for them to know the truth and no longer live in darkness. Being a farmer's son, I love planting seeds. It is so amazing that one seed planted will produce so many fruits and seeds when harvested. Words of God can be planted in our hearts and will multiply through sharing with others. The objects in these passages are just little things. Light that illuminates the whole house, seed that grows and multiplies. However, a tiny mustard seed, when planted, grows into a big tree. Sometimes we see and think of ourselves as little before God, but if we let him use us to accomplish his will in our lives, then we could do bigger things. So just... Yeah, I'd just like to share again. I usually go sort of line by line and just thoughts that I have and things to challenge us. And this passage here obviously leads on from yesterday's passage that Janie shared on the devotional on the seeds on the path and the rocky path and the good soil. And as we see, as it's written in the one book, there are sort of three distinct themes that he covers in this section. One is the lamp on the stand, which is that first paragraph there, verses sort of 21 to 25. The second is the parable of the growing seed, the second part, 26 to 29. And the final bit is the parable of the mustard seed, verses 30 to 34, the last paragraph in the one book. Looking at the first bit, we've all heard this before about, when there's a lamp, do we put it under a basket or do we hide it on the bed and not in the lampstand? And here again we see... Just a few of my thoughts on this, and Jesus continues on with his teachings. He obviously is again explaining this in parables, not being so direct to his apostles. But who are the lamps that he's talking about? I think obviously he's talking about the apostles as he's sharing with them, and then obviously to the readers like us, he's talking about Christians. Now we've received the good news, the gospel. Not for ourselves, but to spread it, to illuminate the darkness in other people's lives. I saw a commentary that the King James Version says it's actually a candle. And candles and lamps, they're not permanent things. They burn and then eventually they run out. They burn on the oil that they have. They burn on the wick that they have. And so, you know, even our lives and the lives of the apostles, there's a limited time that they are able to illuminate. And unless in that time frame they do their purpose of illuminating, that eventually that time will run out and it will have to go on to the next person. And, you know, Jesus spoke in John 8:12 saying to the people, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I just had this image, you know, that we're called to be the light to those around us, you know, in darkness, in spiritual darkness, in ignorance of who Christ is. And Jesus said that he was the light of life. And it was this image like of a candle where he was like the original candle, the original lamp. And as he spoke to the apostles, as he sort of imparted his word and his message, he like passed that flame on to light their lamps, to light their candles, because they were in darkness before. And then they were then used to illuminate others and others and others and so on, until it comes to our generation where, again, we hold the light of Jesus in our hearts, the light of Jesus in our salvation. And it's sort of our calling, our responsibility, the word that Jesus gives to us, even through the Gospel of Mark, is to light that onwards to other people and not to just hold it to ourselves. Again, we see in this time in Hong Kong, we had house church on Tuesday and we had a good discussion time. And I think we were just talking about, just following on from Pastor Sam's message about how precious our time is. You know, Hong Kong's a busy place. We all have limited time in our works, in our studies, in our sort of, you know, meeting up with friends and looking after family. And so we just had a good time discussing, you know, we're in Hong Kong during this time, during this season. We don't know where we're going to be next year, the year after, in 5 or 10 years' time. But while we're here, while we're at Solomon's Porch, while we're at House Church, while we're in this body of Christ, to really just give our utmost and use our time effectively. Because I think I just said the one thing that I felt was, you know, if we ever left and we moved on to different parts of the world, you know, wherever God called us to, the one thing that I would feel would be a real shame was if there's regret. Regret that when you left Hong Kong, regret that when you left this community and this amazing church and the things that God are doing here, regret that you weren't able to sow a little bit more into that, able to spend a bit more time, you know, so busy, caught up with other things in our lives, which are not necessarily bad, but not necessarily so eternal as well. So that was one of the things that we challenged him about. And Jesus is really sort of mentioning that here as well. If you move on to the verse 23, he carries on the same theme that he mentioned in verse 9. And, you know, the charge for the gospel of Christ needs a fair hearing. He says, you know, pay attention, let anyone with ears to hear listen. So it's basically saying to the audience, if you are here listening to this message, give this message a fair try. Give this message a fair thought, a fair process to really just chew on it, mull on it, and don't just let it come into your ears and go out, you know, sort of out the other side of your ears and sort of move forward in your life. And I find, verse 24, he challenges even more, saying, if you've heard it, you've got to pay attention. It's not just about you receiving the word. I mean, we sit on Sunday services, we hear so many messages. Not just about coming for 2 hours or 1.5 hours and hearing the word, and then the next day or instantly, as soon as we leave the sanctuary, our lives aren't changed. As if that 1.5 hours or however long the message was had no impact on our lives. The fact that God has brought us to a place where we're able to hear his message, hear his gospel, there's also an added responsibility there that we need to pay attention and transformation and response needs to be the outflow from that. He says here, as you hear, the measure you give will be the measure you get. So we receive more of the gospel because we're in a country where worship is free, where we can hear the word freely. And from that measure, God's going to look at our lives and say, well, you know, you weren't in North Korea, you weren't in Laos, you weren't in these countries where just even worshipping is a persecuted thing, you know, where your lives are in danger. You're in a free country in a free with freedom of religion, and you're able to hear the word freely. So what have you done with that word? What have you done with that those weekly messages, those weekly Bible studies, those morning devotionals? What is it that you've done with all that teaching, that pouring out into your lives that I've given unto you? And it's obviously challenging for the disciples as it is for us. And just carrying on again. So at the end, we see that phrase where it coincides what Matthew 25 says in the parable of the talents, where for those who have, more will be given. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. I was mulling on this a little bit, which is we were just dialoguing. And at first glance, it seems sort of a little bit unfair. You know, it's like, okay, so you've got people who have, and God says, I'm going to give you more. And you've got people who don't have, and God's going to say, basically, I'm going to take it away. And at first glance, you know, you read that and you think, is that really fair? But the way I like to read this passage, it's not necessarily, I would say, what we have in terms of our possessions, our livelihood, our health. The way I see it is, there are blessings, I would say, where when God uses us to minister and to bless and to serve, we receive a blessing. We're basically privileged to be part of that ministry, privileged to be serving God. We're in some ways honored to be part of his work. And that's the sort of talent that I feel God is talking about here. He's basically saying, or the way I read it and the way I sort of mull on it is, God gives us unique talents and abilities, and only you can minister or do the thing that God called you to in the way that he wants you to do it. And so if you don't heed that call, that privilege and that blessing of serving him, of honoring him, he'll just pass that on to someone else because his work will always get done. So I feel that's the thing that will be given away, and not, you know, necessarily your jobs or your health or that those sort of material items, but more the spiritual aspect, where if you've been given a talent, if you've been given a calling, and you really flourish in that, you really work for his kingdom, you really serve his kingdom, then God's just going to pour more of that into you, and that's going to come back in blessing. As you know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, spiritual blessings, just the blessing of having purpose and vision, that's going to be more bountiful. But I feel if you sort of waste that talent, waste that calling, waste that gifting in not serving properly and not being a bit more wholehearted in what God's called you to do, then God will just pass that baton to someone else. And that's where you'll miss out, I think, in that element. Moving on to the growing seed in the second paragraph. We've heard this, the kingdom of God is if someone scatters seed on the ground. It really, again, just talks about what our job and our role is. And I think this is what the pastor here is talking about. God doesn't call us necessarily to grow the plant, to water the plant, to take care of the things that which only he can take care of. Only God can take care of the weather. Only God can take care of how the crops ripen, you know, how they the stalks grow. It reminded me on 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, where there's a discourse between Paul and the Corinthians about different roles in the church. It says, you know, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. It's neither the one who plants or the one who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they'll each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. You know, Paul recognized that we just do a very, very small part in the whole process. Our job is just to scatter the seed. You know, you don't have to go out and till the field. So that's where God comes in. That's where God comes in and steps in, and he does all the work behind the scenes. And sometimes, you know, that we can that gives us encouragement, I feel. There are different stages of life, different stages of faith. I know many of us are praying for the salvation of loved ones, of friends and family. And, you know, it's not necessarily God wants us to have the burden to really lead them to Christ, per se, in hand-carrying them and discipling them, especially if they're, you know, different parts of the world. But he honors the little seeds that we scatter, the times that we share with them, where we share the gospel, the prayers of faith that we sow up. You know, that's what he honors, and then he'll do the rest. He'll do the work behind the scenes. He'll do the growing. He'll do the nurturing of their faith, of their sort of spirit to be more receptive to him. And so that gives us, you know, less burden, I'd say, in the ministry of gospel. And it also gives us the recognition that God is the one that does the growing. God is the one that does the nurturing. You know, God's work is his work. We're merely co-workers in that. And as I say, we just, if you imagine a field, we're just walking around the field scattering seeds, and then we just leave. And then God will grow the field for us. But then he does call at the, Jesus does mention at the end of this second piece of today's message, that when they are ripe, you know, someone needs to come in and harvest that. And, you know, I read that as, again, I said there's different stages of faith in our lives. There's different stages of seekers. You know, you have your friend you probably prayed for who didn't even want to know Christ. And then a year later, they're receptive to hanging out with your Christian friends. And a year later, they're receptive to coming to a Christmas party or a social event. And, you know, slowly so, there's different stages of that faith. And I find that, you know, that work is the work that God does. Our work in terms of having the sickle ready is to recognize when to just nurture them along, when to sort of gather that harvest in and then let God do the next stage of growing. For me personally, one of my favorite passages in Philippians 1:6 is where it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It just reminds me again that it's God who carries it on to the day of completion. It's not myself having to carry this journey of faith or carry this journey of ministry or carry this journey of evangelism. But I just need to work alongside him and let God work through me and through us to really complete that. And that's his promise to us. And again, I'm sure you've all had sort of amazing testimonies, but yeah, one of my best friends, Ed, who lives in England, we've basically known each other since babies. He is one of these exact examples where he knew I went to church, he hung out with our friends, but he just had nothing to do with Christ. And so I'd say, on average, probably about 10, 11 years, I've been praying for him, on and off. I wouldn't say diligently every day, but you know, when I think of salvation and friends, praying on and off. And ever since we came over to Asia, we haven't seen him as much, but every time we go back, like we went back a few years ago and he got married, and he eventually married one of our sisters at church, so he ended up going to church, which is a good first step. And then we went again, this time recently, to England and had dinner with them. And he told us that he got baptized, like recently. And I just recognized as I was coming back, it was like, wow. It wasn't all those almost heated discussions I was having with him about what faith was about, what going to church was about, what Christ meant. But it was literally the prayers of faith sown, the little discussions we had over this almost 10-year period, and God doing the work behind the scenes, really leading him to this stage. And it just reminded me once again that God is the one, you know, who does the growing. And the final parable, the one of the mustard seed, again, it's one we've heard many, many times. In the times of the gospel, in the times this is written, that mustard seed was the smallest seed known to man. And so, again, Jesus is saying, we only need a small amount of faith to do his work. The multiplying comes from God. You know, a small act of obedience, of serving or ministering or just loving on someone or praying for someone goes a long way in his kingdom. And it reminds us again that, you know, the burden, a lot of that burden is taken off our shoulders. We sometimes feel, again, as the writer says here, that it's the big things that God is looking for. It's the big things that God wants us to get involved in. But actually, it's the daily small things where God does a lot of his ministering. It's the daily small things, that sowing of mustard seeds into the lives of our families, the lives of our colleagues, where God grows that tree. And again, you know, it becomes the biggest tree in the garden, and even other people are able to nest in its shade and do that. I just remembered that from our anniversary service, you know, Pastor Sam mentioning that 9 years ago, six or seven members of SP faithfully met to pray for a church and faithfully met to pray for a ministry. And, you know, the sanctuary, the people sitting here in this room, the many things that are happening in 2012 were birthed out of those prayers, those mustard seed prayers. And God has done the watering over 9 years and really bloomed it to be the ministry that we have now. You know, Matthew 17:20 says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Yeah, so again, you know, take courage. Don't be disheartened to think that your small acts of ministry, your small acts of loving on someone, of praying, don't matter, because they truly do. In his kingdom, it's so different to what we see in the world. In the world, people talk about great evangelists, people talk about great, you know, church growth, people talk about great sort of speakers. But it's actually the daily small acts of love, the daily small acts of ministering and touches that each and every one of us are more than capable of doing, which is how his kingdom advances, how, you know, these mustard seeds become great trees in future seasons, future life. And finally, he wraps up the very end in the last verse. He said, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. I find that a lot of us read the Bible and we go through the word, and there's many times where we read a passage several times and it doesn't really do too much to us. And then one time, for whatever reason, you know, illumination happens. And here again, I was reminded again by Mark that it's God and it's Jesus who is able to unravel that. You know, he in private spoke to his disciples about the word, and you know, unwrap the word, unwrap the parables. And so, you know, if you're having a hard time as you do your morning sort of devotionals, as you do your morning sort of reading, a simple thing, just to ask the Holy Spirit to unravel the word to you. Because God's the author of the Bible. And as Jesus was able to explain everything in private to his disciples, as his children, as his disciples, he will obviously do the same for us if we just come and seek him. So with that, I think Yvain's coming to lead some worship. And we've just got a few things to reflect on. So just as Yvain starts up the worship, but there are two things. One is just a way to challenge yourself. Are you using the talents and the calling that God's given to you, as he said in the first paragraph there? You know, our lamps and our candles that we have here in Hong Kong, here at Solomon's Porch, is going to burn for a limited time. But are you going to be in this place where you can leave this place, leave this city, leave this community, and really look back with no regrets about how you spent your time, how you spent your talents, how you spent your efforts, how you ministered and loved one another, and how you really just served and advanced his kingdom? You know, he gives us all uniqueness. He gives us all such amazing gifts. And, you know, just ask yourself and have a bit of downtime with God, and ask him to give us the faith and the strength to... for us to rise up and serve, for us to rise up and be more effective ministers, because a lot of it takes courage. Sometimes we know in our head what to do, but our heart is so difficult to follow. Just ask God to speak to you, God to encourage you, God to give you that faith rising, to recognize that we're here for a purpose and a reason. And God's got individual callings, specific parts where he wants you to serve and to bless and to minister. And the second thing is, as he shares in the final two parables, I just pray you're encouraged to know that the little things that you do in your downtimes, little things that you do in your daily lives, mean a lot in his kingdom. Now, you may yourself sort of beating yourself up sometimes, thinking, "What am I doing, God, to serve you? What am I doing, God, to really minister your word?" But those times where you just speak a word of encouragement to your colleague, those times where you just sow a prayer for your unsaved family members or someone who's sick, those times where you just buy someone lunch and we're just able to share your weekend with them at work, now they count for a lot in his kingdom. And here again, he shows us that we don't have to have the burden of growing that ministry, growing the calling of that person to come to know Christ, because God's going to take care of that. We just have to be there to scatter the seed and to really just move in faith as small as a mustard seed, and God will do the rest. So let's just reflect on those points as we worship. Thank you.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me now, to go, to free, to give, to feed. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me.
As we sang, let's just spend this final moment before we go into corporate prayer and just remind ourselves that it's in the presence of His Spirit that we can do all these things. It's in the fullness of His Spirit that we can serve and minister. Out of our own strength, out of our own actions, we can only go so far. But it's His Spirit that keeps a lamp burning, keeps that candle flame wickering along. So let's just pray today that the Holy Spirit will touch us, that He'll fill us up, that each day we recognize that it's not us doing the work, but it's God doing it behind the scenes. And so that, you know, just remember who our source is. Let's just pray this moment and ask the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be poured into our lives today and every day for us to do the work that He's called us to do. Just turn to our corporate prayer. Just cover our community, those who are sick with cancer, those who have growths,
for those who are going through chemo, radiotherapy. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to come in and just bring each and every one of these members of our bodies of Christ here, the family members, to fullness of health, fullness of healing. Let's just pray over the members there right now. Continue to cover those who are not only sick but need salvation. For those who have got illnesses and infirmities. And also for those who are looking for jobs, for the members there as well. Let's just bless our community through prayer. For our mission focus as well. Let's cover Nagoya in Japan for Kenny, for Thailand, for Rachel, and for North Korea, the persecuted church there, and Chris Kim. Let's just pray that, you know, through all the many missionaries and many house churches and many Christians, that God's light will shine in those nations there, which are so dark, and the nations that are so absent of his presence. Let's just pray for those nations right now. cover the SP ministry. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and Pastor Garrett, or she leads that. For the nursery ministry, for Pamela and Gian as they help administer that. For SP Youth, for Pastor Nate, and for the men and women's ministry, for Lisa, for Sandro, and for Christian, all the people who are helping in those ministries, that God will continue to do his just amazing work through these ministries, through the servants, through the teachers, and the many people who are just really serving those different groups. So let's just cover them, and let's just pray for God's grace to be manifest in those ministries. The house church events tonight as well, the ones that are meeting at Conduit. Let's pray for Sandra and May, for Kennedy, for Will and Tracy, and for PPHV, for Rachel, for Angie, and also for Mike as well, who's going to be there. So let's just pray for these different house churches, pray for the leaders, pray for covering, pray for the worship times, pray that, you know, schedules of members who have got meetings or trips are just cancelled miraculously today, and they can just come together in community to minister to one another, to fellowship one another, to love on one another. Just bless the house churches tonight. Father, we just thank you once more for today. We thank you once more for your word and for your grace, and just for the encouragement to recognize that this walk of faith, this walk of serving you, we're not doing it alone. You are the one doing the growing, you are the one doing the nurturing, and we just have a small part to play. And I just pray you give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to do the things you've called us to do them well, and to do them with our whole heart. You know, in times, forgive us if we're complacent with the gifts and the callings and that even the time you've given us, that we haven't used it in the right way. But just to give us the desire, Lord Father, to recognize that in the small things, your kingdom grows. In the small things, your light shines. In the small things, that tree that was a mustard seed grows to be the biggest tree in the garden, Lord. So, Lord, give us that strength. We recognize we can only do it by the fullness of your Holy Spirit and by the fullness of your presence. So I just pray to bless each and every one of the members here today, to impart on them the strength, the courage, the wisdom and the discernment to live today the way you want them to live out their calling the way you want them to be called, Lord. And so, Lord, just bless us and use us, Lord. May we just offer our lives unto you, just continue to do your amazing work through us, with us, and especially through SP here in Hong Kong. Lord, we thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.